Please do keep that second reading open. We'll be focusing on that there in Acts chapter 2, from verse 42 on page 1094. Let's pray and ask for our God's help as we come to his word. Loving God, your word is bread to us that sustains our spiritual life. As we reflect on your word this morning, please draw near to each one of us. Give us the guidance, the correction, the encouragement that we need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's such a huge variety of churches in the world today. Some churches are very formal, with a set liturgy of words and grand processions. Others are totally informal, with no service planned, and all the leading and teaching totally spontaneous. Some churches meet in historic cathedrals. Others gather under the shade of an African tree. Some have choral music, others congregational singing, some even rock or rap music. The largest church in America has 52,000 people in attendance Sunday by Sunday. The other end of the spectrum, I've been part of a church of just 10 on Sundays. And this variety makes us ask, what should a church be like? What does God's word say is important in a church? We know that the church is people, not the building. What should a church family, a church community be like? Well, our reading from the book of Acts comes at the end of the day of Pentecost. On that remarkable day, God poured out his promised Holy Spirit on his people. And Peter was empowered to preach to the people of Jerusalem. He told them that this Jesus, whom they had crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ. And Peter urged the people of Jerusalem to repent and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and to receive themselves the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 of them did. And actually, it's a mark of the amazing grace of God that these very people who'd been involved in crucifying his son, when they turned to him in repentance and faith, received God's Holy Spirit to transform them radically from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit binded those believers together into the first Christian church. And so Luke, the writer of Acts, he ends his account of the day of Pentecost with this beautiful portrait of the early church. And it's so valuable for us to look at this portrait this morning because it shows us the marks of the Spirit-filled church. It shows us what the Holy Spirit worked in that first church after the day of Pentecost. And what the Holy Spirit is still growing in churches today, even ours. So four marks of the Spirit-filled church. And the first thing that marks this church was learning. Did you notice it in verse 42? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to learning from the apostles. Now, the apostles were those specially authorized by Jesus to pass on his word. They'd been with him and they'd witnessed his resurrection. They'd been especially commissioned by Jesus to speak for him. The apostles' teaching had Jesus's authority. And this was reflected in their miracles. In verse 43, we read, "Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles." Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, tells us that one of the marks of the apostles was miracles. We see in the book of Acts that God did remarkable miracles through the apostles, similar even to the miracles of Christ himself. And it was to show that their teaching carried the authority of Christ himself. And the early church devoted themselves. That's the word in verse 42, devoted to the apostles' teaching. Not just a passing interest, they gave themselves with energy, commitment, and passion to learning from the apostles. Back when I was in the sixth form, two Polish boys joined our history class. This was very shortly after the fall of the Iron Curtain. and they'd been given places to study in the UK. And my goodness, they devoted themselves to learning. Within 2 years, they were writing essays in English on English history that were far better than any of us UK students were doing. And I think part of the reason for their devotion was that they counted learning a privilege. They'd been in a place where there were so few resources, and now they could learn, they devoted themselves to it. Well, we have the privilege of learning from the apostles' teaching. We don't have apostles in the church today, but we do have their teaching recorded in the Bible. And it's through their teaching that we meet Jesus Christ, that we receive life through faith in him, that we hear the words of Jesus, and we grow in his love and his likeness. And so the challenge for us is to be a church devoted to the apostles' teaching. That gives a responsibility to those of us who teach to pass on their message faithfully. And it gives a responsibility to all of us to be devoted to learning. And the key to that is not actually being academic. It's hunger for God's word. I was reading in a book over Christmas that one time it was very normal for Christian people to read the scripture passage in advance of Sunday, to pray perhaps on Saturday night for God to speak to us through his word as we meet. And on Sundays, to work hard during the sermon, not leaving it all to the preacher, but working hard to think for ourselves, what does the passage mean? How does it apply for me? It was normal to speak with family and friends on Sunday, identifying what each person was taking away from the teaching of the Bible, to hold on to it and to strive to put it into practice. The first mark of the Spirit-filled church we see here is learning. How can we grow this year in being devoted to the apostles' teaching, the Bible? Well, the second mark of this Spirit-filled church after learning was partnership. Partnership with each other. It's verse 42 again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. One writer jokes that fellowship is often misunderstood. We often think it's a mysterious thing that happens when two Christians encounter each other in the presence of coffee. But in fact, fellowship simply means partnership. These early Christians understood that through Jesus, God had brought them to himself and made them his children, and also that God had brought them to each other and made them brothers and sisters in the same family, members or organs of the same body, and they understood that they needed each other, and so they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to partnership. And we see here that this partnership, well, it involved sharing time. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, we don't know if they continued to meet daily or if that was just at first. Hebrews 3:13 does say, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We may not meet as a church every day, but we do need Christian encouragement daily. This church met not only in the temple courts, but also in their own homes, significantly eating together, which is so powerful to strengthen fellowship. For healthy Christian people and churches, there's just no substitute for time with other believers. Of course, in our busy lives, that doesn't just happen. It requires making a priority of Sunday services and midweek groups. Like coals in a fire, Christians burn brightly when we have time together. But when one member is away, it grows dim, and the rest of the fire is weaker as well. So the partnership of this early church, it involves sharing time, but also sharing resources. We see that in verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Now, this was not forced communism. After all, in verse 46, they still had their own homes, but it was radical generosity. They were so touched by the love of God that instinctively they sacrificed, they shared in love to meet each other's needs. And actually, it is wonderful to hear of this kind of thing happening in our own church, not just through the organised care fund, but through many unseen kindnesses. I've been so encouraged, actually, in my months here to see how our church family shares. People giving time to offer lifts, to visit those in need. Time to set up on Sunday, to welcome, to teach the children, to serve drinks, to lead music, to run midweek groups. And giving as well support, friendship and encouragement one to another. This partnership is truly a sign of the Holy Spirit at work among us. And in our partnership, every believer has a part to play. The work of encouraging and teaching and caring and nurturing in the Christian faith, it doesn't just belong to the staff. It's actually a responsibility that we all share in. Now, there are around 1,000 cogs in Big Ben, but every one of those 1,000 cogs is needed to keep that clock working properly. Someone said to me this week, St. Mary's is like that. Each member is a cog with a vital part to play. We may think we've got nothing to contribute, but actually God has a role for each one in encouraging and serving in partnership. St. Mary's, we organise our partnership particularly with two groups in mind, with the congregation and with the small group. And so we encourage everyone to commit to a congregation and to attend it regularly. And it's in our congregation that we hear Bible teaching, that we sing God's praises, we share in the Lord's Supper, and over time we build relationships with a varied group of people. That's the value of committing to a congregation. We also encourage those, if we possibly can, to commit to a small group. A bit later in the service, we'll hear from two people about their experiences with the discipleship course and with growth groups, and there are other small groups too. But it's in those smaller groups that we can teach and encourage one another in conversation, in Bible study, that we can share our needs and the burdens of our hearts and support one another. That's the value of belonging to a small group. Most of those are organized congregationally so that they strengthen as well our relationships within the congregation. On that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit bound those first believers together. They were devoted to fellowship, to sharing time and resources. How can we keep in step with the Spirit as he binds us together in partnership? They were marked by learning, by partnership. A third mark of this Spirit-filled church was worship. Now, worship includes our whole life lived for God, but I'm thinking here particularly about prayer and praise when we meet together. Once again, we see in verse 42, the second half, that they were devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Most scholars think that the breaking of bread here is a reference to communion, which would have been shared at that time in the context of a wider meal. This church was devoted to remembering the saving death of Jesus as they broke bread. And they were devoted to prayer. And we see in verse 46 to praising God as well. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And reading this paragraph, I saw two things that characterized their prayer and praise: reverence and joy. So verse 43, everyone was filled with awe. That's the reverence. They knew that the living God was at work amongst them. And verse 46, with glad and sincere hearts, that's the joy. They knew that in love, God had saved them. Now, it's embarrassing to admit it, but I'm a big fan of the Queen, Her Majesty. In fact, listening to the Queen's speech this Christmas, I cried. Tried to hide it, of course, from my wife as a coughing fit, but I think even she noticed. Imagine how I would feel if I received an invitation to join the Queen for her Christmas gathering at Sandringham. What reverence and what joy would fill my heart. Reverence to be in her presence, joy to have been invited. Well, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. When we meet as a church, we're meeting not in the presence of the Queen, but of the King of Kings, as we gather with his people and hear his word. How much more then should our prayer and praise be marked by that reverence and joy? Now, it's tempting to think that for that we need a beautiful building or a certain style of music. But actually, this Spirit-filled church in Acts, they had no building of their own, and presumably their music was very simple. The key to it is actually our hearts. So let's remind ourselves as we gather Sunday by Sunday of the majesty and holiness of God our Creator, and of the love and intimate relationship we have with God our Saviour. And we need to pray that same Holy Spirit who filled them would keep us from going through the motions in our worship, but give us that reverence and joy in our prayer and our praise. If you're like me, you'll sometimes find that on Sunday, your heart feels cold and church is the last place you want to be. I expect many of us have that feeling from time to time. Actually, at those times, it's especially important that we gather. So often, it's in the company of God's people that he breathes warmth into our hearts again. So the Spirit-filled church, it was marked by learning and partnership and wholehearted worship. And the last mark for us to see this morning, it was marked as well by growth. They were a growing church. So we read at the end of verse 47, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved." Luke, the writer, reminds us there that it was the Lord Jesus himself who brought their growth. It is the Lord who loves the lost, who seeks them out, who brings people to faith, and who binds people into a church family. It is the Lord who does it, but he usually works through his people. And we see that in the book of Acts. These first Christians, they were no holy huddle. They were engaged with the world around them in love and witness, in sharing the gospel and the love of Jesus, even through persecution. Their longing was to see people saved from hell for heaven. And again, in my months here, it's been so encouraging to talk to so many people who have that same concern. As a church, we try to keep our services accessible. We're very pleased to have people with us week by week who are looking into the Christian faith. If that's you, we hope our services are helpful, understanding the Christian message, giving space to think about it, to see the reasons why we believe, something of the difference the Christian faith makes. We have Christianity Explored each term, toddler groups, and mission weeks each year. Our next mission week, in fact, is just after Easter with the speaker, Glenn Scrivener. More on that in the weeks ahead. But actually, I think the most important factor in being an outward-looking church is actually the quality of the relationships that each one of us has with those who are not yet believers, and our prayerful desire to see the Lord add to our number those who are being saved. So we've seen this portrait of the church after the day of Pentecost. The Spirit-filled church. They were marked out by learning. They were really devoted to the apostles' teaching. And by partnership, all of them sharing time and resources. And by worship that was reverent and joyful. And by growth. Now, these things don't come by human effort alone. They're given by the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out that day and into every believer today. But we do need to keep in step with the Spirit as a church, to pull in the same direction as him. We need to not quench the Spirit, frustrating his purposes. So as we finish, I want to give us a moment to think. Do any of these four marks need our attention, individually or as a congregation? What will it mean for us as individuals, as people, to develop these marks, to grow in these things, the marks of a Spirit-filled church? Just a moment to think before we pray.
Our gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom you pour out on your people. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit might grow in increasing measure these same marks in our church family. And help us, O Lord, to keep in step with the Spirit, to pull in that same direction, that more and more we might be marked by devotion to the apostles' teaching, by partnership, by worship in reverence and joy week by week, and by growth we pray. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.